Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, November the 20th, 2022. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joe. And I want to start off with, I'm going to let them pick it up. But head of Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, which I've talked to his aides before, a good guy, straightforward, has come out that they've got all this stuff on Hunter Biden and on Joe Biden, all tied up with Hunter Biden and the Biden family. They're calling it basically the Biden crime syndicate, and that they're all tied together. And Comer, who runs the oversight committee, which Jim Jordan was on also, but now is head of judiciary underneath the new Congress. They did a news conference. It's up on my website on StuWeb.com. This is Congressman Jim Jordan and Congressman Comer. And it was on C-SPAN. So when you go into the video, click on the link that says C-SPAN. Just don't watch the short version of Jim Jordan. But you got to hear what they have on the Bidens. It's off the charts. Now, with that said, Jim Fetzer, you want to pick it up from there?
Yeah. Well, Stu, yeah, you're absolutely right. Oh, sure, there's massive, but the FBI's been sitting on the Hunter laptop under Christopher Roe to protect Joe in the 2020 election, just as James Comey before sat on the Anthony Weiner laptop to protect Hillary in 2016. And now, in order to thwart this effort, where the Republicans and aggressive guys like Jim Jordan, whom I hail as a champion, could do the job of an expose. Merrick Garland has just named a special counsel on Trump. He's going to deal with all the Mar-a-Lago stuff and all the January 6th stuff, and he's also going to be used to investigate incoming members of the Congress in order to put a halt to all of this investigation by claiming that what they're looking for is part of an ongoing investigation, and therefore they're not allowed to have it or access or treat it. And they're going to try to get rid of a couple of the new Republican members to turn the House back over to the Democrats. It's a very slick plan. It's completely disgusting, but it's just what you'd expect from these demon rats who are communists subverting the United States Constitution, stealing elections right and left, and committing all kinds of fraud, including sending tens of billions to Ukraine only to be money laundered and sent back to be used by the Democrats to steal the midterm elections. I mean, it's grotesque what has been taking place here right before our very eyes.
Now, there were 14 whistleblowers, FBI agents, that they have interviewed, Jim Jordan and Comer, who they've talked to, that were saying that this one FBI agent up in Washington, D.C. was obstructing justice, covering up, and they're talking about in there even 2 weeks before the election with Trump and Biden, that they were doing things to influence the American people in not voting for Trump, and were trying to demonize, basically, is what they're saying, that they were being told to hack people on Facebook, on Twitter, and other places.
Now, sure, absolutely. We want to bring Joel in on this, of course. He'll have a lot to say, I have no doubt. But the fact is, they're playing dirty politics all the time. This is characteristic of immoral people. They're willing to do things that moral people are not willing to do. They're willing to lie, steal, cheat, compromise, sabotage democracy, steal elections. This is the Biden crime family up and down the line, and much more. Child trafficking, child abuse, Biden having showers with his own daughter, naked showers when she's prepubescent. I mean, it's grotesque what's been going on here. And the Democrats are rallying around. I mean, look, Paul Pelosi was engaged in gay sex with this guy, David DuPont, when they had a falling out over drugs, and he beat him over the head with a vibrating dildo shaped like a hammer that's loaded with batteries, so it'd be like being hit over the head with a heavy flashlight, which was the cause of death of JonBenet Ramsey, when her mother got pissed off because she wet the bed and hit her over the head with a flashlight, then wrapped her up and painted a little heart right in the palm of her hand there was any doubt about who was responsible or what had happened there, but the authorities all covered it up. Because in that case, as I understand it, the law enforcement, the judicial system were participating in a group rape on John Bonet Ramsey, and it was just more than she could handle. It upset her, and her mother took it out on her.
Well, the father, there was a reporter that was quite close to things that I'm aware of without speaking names and getting anybody killed. But when they covered up that John Bonet Ramsey case, there was a couple who had stayed in their home that evening who they claim, the reporter claims, that sheriffs in Boulder County told him in secret, her in secret, that it was the couple whose daughter or son died in the same fashion 21 or 22 years prior in the same fashion. And the reason is that John Bonet Ramsey's father was molesting her. And she started coming out in public, and she was grabbing him by his you-know-what in public, right to his pants. And that's the reason they had to dispose of her. I don't know if that's true enough.
It's all heavy-duty shit, but what the Democrats are doing this country far exceeds those individual cases, tragic and horrific as they are.
This is outrageous to think that here 14 FBI agents have come forward, and they've testified, already made the statements and declared it, that their boss in Washington, D.C. was obstructing justice, covering up, and even trying to, was influencing the election, and doing things to knock people like you and me and Joe and other people off the internet to keep from having the truth told about the Bidens. Now, this even goes back, from what I understood of that news conference, this even goes back to the Obama administration when Biden was vice president. Is that pretty much true?
Oh, I have no doubt it is true. Joel?
Well, it's always the same thing. Here we have an investigation. The questions are being asked. There's sufficient evidence or sufficient information out there to prosecute it or to further investigate it and bring it forth and see if there can be a prosecution. But again, it goes over and over again, and it doesn't get past that hearing where you have enough evidence out there to really do something, and nothing happens.
They got them for money laundering, trafficking in children, trafficking, human trafficking is what they said, money laundering, a form of treason and sedition. They were talking about, it was bizarre, what Comer said. I didn't have to go back and listen to the tape of all the charges. He laid down about 10 things, as I recall. That's enough to get you taken to jail under RICO, and you'll sit there in a jail cell for 100 years or you'll be executed. And he even talked about the Foreign Something Act, which is a form you can get the death penalty for, it is my understanding. Now, Jim, you want to add to that?
Oh, I think you're right on top of it, Stu. Joel.
All right, here it is. Jim, who was the Attorney General under Trump?
Bill Barr.
That punk.
What a traitor he turns out to be.
He was one of the...
There was sufficient evidence on the Hillary case to really do something. And what did he do? I find no sufficient evidence to bring forth the prosecution against Hillary.
That was James Comey who made that declaration.
Right. And so when you have that happening, what I've always wanted to find out is, I wanted to find out the inner workings of who was paid off, who was told not to say things, and who was told to say things, and what to say. That's where I would like to see what was going on behind the scenes, in this case, where there's sufficient evidence to do something about it, and I doubt that anything will be done.
Now, you know, Bill Barr, you mentioned him, but he was a CIA counsel to George Herbert Walker Bush when he was CIA director. He worked for Norman Brownstein, which was the one that Melman, my ex-father-in-law, hired out of law school, him and Larry Mizell, that took over for him, and in 1972 out of Boulder. And then in 75, he leaves Melman's presence and goes into work for then CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush, where they were doing the first mortgage frauds of duplicating mortgages on houses that didn't exist in Tustin, Inglewood, Colorado. I have a audio of Gene Chip Tatum up there who was involved in it on my website under videos. You can listen to it, folks. Now, Bill Barr has come out against Donald Trump since he left his position as Attorney General. This is how people get infiltrated, because the problem is Washington, D.C. is a friggin' whorehouse, in my opinion, and everybody in it.
Of course, and Barr even said that there was no evidence of theft in the election when he hadn't even bothered to look whether there was any evidence of the theft of the election. And where had he looked, the evidence was overwhelming, abundant, and compelling. I mean, he's just a disgusting traitor to the United States who should never have occupied the office of Attorney General.
No. Now, you know, Super Spook Otis Johnson once told me that the problem that we have, he said, before his death in 2017, and I posted some stuff on my breaking news column recently about him and Jerry Henderson that owned Grumman Aerospace and owned Avon that Bush killed and his big mansion underground in Las Vegas. They started renting it out. Bush took it over after he killed him because he shipped F-10 fighter jets, tank busters over to Iraq and Iran with fake built of ladings by Bush. The Henderson partner was Otis Johnson. Another one was an Israeli colonel. And I met and had lunch with him once. And he took the Mossad hit that Milman put on me, got it off of me after buying him lunch. And it was Otis that sent me the $100 in Western Union and called me up, gave me his number, and said he's waiting for your phone call. Take him to lunch. Tell him you're not an anti-Semitic, which I am not. My daughter's Jewish by her mother, but I'm not anti-Semitic. So we had this long talk. He took the hit off. Here's the point. Otis was NSA. He even talked to President Putin of Russia when he threatened, after Al-Qaeda, financed by the United States, hit Syria with a biological chemical weapon. Al-Qaeda, being a bunch of Iraqis that were former and became Al-Qaeda. Now, he was on the phone with him when he threatened the NSA because he spoke a fluent Russian. And he spoke to him without the interpreter. And Mr. Putin says, if you attack Syria again, we're going to drop a nuke in the Azov Fault off the coast of New York to cause a tidal wave from Canada all the way down to the end of Florida. And it would go 1,800 feet high halfway across the United States and wipe out half your population. Do you understand me? That's what was said. Al-Qaeda did not attack again Syria with any kind of chemical weapons. Now, he told me there's 200,000 aliens, he called them, registered with the NSA since 1952 that are the control box, and they've cloned 10 million in Hope, Arkansas, humans, cloned them. And he said, Stu, I said, then that means all the leaders of the world are possessed by these, I call them fallen angels. He said the government calls them aliens, but he says, I'm in agreement, they're fallen angels. He says, the problem is, I said, that means all the world leaders are possessed. He goes, no, Trump's not evil. He was working for General Flynn when he got murdered with Stonar technology. General Flynn gets fired 2 weeks later as National Security Director on those false charges they brought against him to get rid of him because they were running a sting operation on Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, and her fake dossier against Trump. Now, he says, Stu, don't worry about Mueller. He says, if he doesn't do his job and prosecute Hillary for the fake dossier, he says, I'm going to be arresting him personally. He was NSA. And I know he was because I saw him several times on the phone or on his computer, and he wouldn't let me in his office because he was in there in his office. Now, he murdered him. And I'm aware that there's 200,000. I said, well, then that means all the world leaders are possessed. He goes, no. He said, Donald Trump's not evil and he's not possessed. But he said, and there's other world leaders. But he said, the problem is it's their aides surrounding them, and that they can read their minds. They can read their minds. So there's a big problem that we have worldwide, in my opinion. And that comes from.
What do you mean by read their mind.
I'll give you an example. Ed Slade, who worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada, outbound Groom Lake, Area 51, Area 52 known as, it's an alien base. It's been there for a long time. Ed was a U.S. scientist for the government, and he built toys for the aliens. He answered to Rothschild, Meyer Rothschild. He was stationed out of New York at the time. He answered to him. He built when Kennedy got killed. Johnson called him in because he was one of the top scientists and told him he wanted a gun made, automatic. He could have, he wanted at least 100 rounds. He made him a magazine of 99 rounds, but he took up something that was already out there in the way of an automatic weapon, and he cut the barrel off of it. He delivered it back to the White House and gave it to President Johnson. Johnson put it in his pocket. If you notice pictures of Johnson after Kennedy's murder, he's always walking around with his right hand in his pocket. He told Ed, Ed asked him, why do you want me to make this? He says, if they come to kill me, he says, I'm going to mow everything down around me. He said, I'm going to kill everything that moves around me, including Secret Service if necessary, to put a stop to it. Now, Ed was a U.S. scientist. He made toys with the aliens. One of the toys before his death, and they found 2,000 laser spots on his brain because a friend of mine called me and told me he was dead because he was trying to collect war bonds he had bought worth, and they were worth about $2 billion that Rockefeller and Rothschild convinced him to buy back in the 50s and 60s. Now, and one of them was Germany, as I recall, or France, and he couldn't cash them in. And they didn't want to cash him in. He bought a bunch of other fake bonds. Because Otis checked them out, some other people in the CIA and NSA for me, to find out if any of them were correct. Well, he decided he was going to try to cash one of them in. So they murdered him. Here's what he told me. He says, Stu, he says, you're never, because he kept coming, picking me up in Las Vegas before I left there in 2002. And we'd have lunch three times a week at the Holiday Inn, and he would treat for $4 during the day. Go have a brunch, lunch, breakfast combined, about 11 o'clock, and he'd try to bleed my brain on what the latest I was hearing. And he would tell me all these horror stories about building all these toys for the aliens and for the government, supposedly. He answered to the Council of 13, they call him. That's the 12 disciples of Satan and Satan. But he answered basically to them, but he answered directly to the United States president as well. Now, he told me, never tell anybody until after I'm dead if you outlive me. I said, okay, tell me the story. He said, well, they had me make a loaf of bread, size metal, out of mu metal, element 115, 116, 117, and 118, which is dipolium that they make the flying saucers out of, because John Lear, my friend, his dad owned Lear Jets, the pilot. And John made Art Bell famous, Coast to Coast, with Bob Lazar about the alien thing. Here's the deal. Now, John died about 9 months ago or so. But John told me on an interview, and I'm going to try to find it. I've got it on a joystick, should we say. And I'm going to try to find it because I didn't mark it according to who I put on. But he answered the question a few years back that his father built 150 flying saucers for the United States government from the Alien Agreement of 1952 to 2012. He sold Lear jets to his partner, and he built them up until 1952 to 1959. 150 of them. They're made of dipolium. Now, the U.S. Air Force has them. The United States Navy has them. And we go out in outer space. The technology is so far advanced and nobody can believe it. But here's the deal. He put together element 115 that the Robotoids are made out of. And if you remember Ferguson, Missouri, everybody was arrested within 2 weeks after who participated in the Ferguson, Missouri riots a few years back. They sent the Robotoids in there. They look human. They're robots. They breathe. They drink. The whole bit. You think they're human. They're external skeleton instead of internal. And they're made, and they feel, you feel skin. They went in there holding up signs, black, white, different ones, protesting along with and looting, and they would go up and shake the hands of people. By shaking their hands, they took their fingerprints. That's the reason everybody was arrested who was involved within 2 weeks thereafter. The riots stopped and went to jail. Now, Ed said, Stowe, don't ever tell anybody unless you outlive me. I said, okay. He made this loaf of bread, element 115, mu metal robotoids, 116, 117, and 118 Napoleon. He fused it together the way the aliens told him to do, so it was sized the loaf of bread. They told him to go down to the pyramid north of Mexico City and go meet this guy, I forgot his name. And he goes down there, and usually at about 5 o'clock, the pyramid's open and people are around on the day that he was down there. And nobody was around. And he sees this guy, 7'6" tall, and he's Nordic-looking character. And he walks up towards him. He says, you must be Ed Slade. He says, yes, you must be so-and-so. He says, yes. He said, show me what you made me. So he takes it up to him, the loaf of bread, pulls it out of this leather pouch, and he hands it to him. He says, oh, now take it out there and set it down 50 yards. So Ed goes out and sets it down, counts it off with his feet. He says, this far enough. He turns around. The guy says, yeah, it's far enough. Now come on back here, Ed. I'll show you what you made me. So he goes back over there. He says, now turn around and look out there. And he turns it into a flying saucer. Thinks it into a flying saucer. Then he tells Ed, he said, Ed, or he said, Ed says, how'd you do that? He said, I thought it into what it is, a flying saucer. He says, you can do it. He said, no, I can't. He says, yeah, you can. Close your eyes, look that direction, and start thinking it into a flying saucer. Then he starts reading his mind, the alien. And he tells him, he says, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Think over here. Think over here. Think over here. You're thinking the wrong way. Then all of a sudden he says, oh, now look what you made. He looks out there. So he took him for a joyride to see Earth from outer space and brought him, set him back down, and Ed left. Ed became a very good friend of mine. I saw him for an entire year, 3 times a week. He would treat me to lunch for $4 at the Holiday Inn on the Strip. That's a war story, Jim.
Well, Stu, I don't know what to make of that. Perhaps Joel will have a response. It sounds so much like science fiction. You know, I just am hesitant to take a stand about it.
Well, Joel and
I respect your reporting of it. It's just not an experience I had, and therefore it's not transferable to me. Joel, your thoughts?
Yes, that's what has been said before. You know, the thing that we've got to get back to is the point concerning this hearing and what's going to come of it. And it is my estimation of this hearing, even though it was, you know, brought to the public through C-SPAN, I don't think anything will come of it. And again, I want to know what is behind it that creates this cutting away and not revealing to the public as to the real dynamics of what's going on. And it repeats itself over and over again, whether it's Mueller and the prosecution of Hillary. Nothing came of it. There was not enough evidence. Nonsense. What's going on here? We know that, generally speaking, it comes down to payoffs and things like that. What we want to know is, what payoffs, what person, how much money, how was it done? And this is the, and that's where it becomes the caught between the rock and the hard place.
Okay, now, Joe, I want to ask you a question, because we've had a few talk shows of our own over the past few months talking about what Ed Slade said. And you've heard 6 of the audio tapes I did with Ed Slade, and a talk show host before I started doing my own, and what he revealed on those shows. You found a lot of... Go ahead.
No. I don't want to get into the Ed Slade thing, because that's been done over and over again.
Okay. But what you're talking about right now is the fact that the Justice Department is just totally corrupt at the highest level, not only the Attorney General's office, but the FBI, and they've been obstructing justice over all these years. Now, how many people got paid off? I'm a side example. Ross Perot, I was hiding from the FBI when they had an artificial warrant for my arrest, held me for 10.5 months later, but I was talking to Ross Perot during the election of 1992, providing him information. And every time he would pick up the phone and he would talk to me. Well, Ross Perot, after Reagan got shot, Reagan assigned or appointed him one of 6 people, because he served in the United States Navy. That is, he went through the academy, he got out, he never served in the Navy, but he developed software for missiles and missile component parts. I'll put it that way. But Ross was a brilliant guy. And he would talk to me. And he ran with a lot of my SNL and HUD stuff and other stuff against Bush. I'm the one that got a fax over Pennzoil headquarters. His J. Hugh Lickey partner is about oil, the oil transporting drug dealers. He got a fax. A friend of mine was working there, saw the fax, said in need of $3.5 million to do operation against Bush competition in Dallas. Gene Tip Tatum got jailed because he would not kill Ross Perot. He served about 4 years in jail. He actually was in the jail, special made jail cell next to Timothy McVeigh, which McVeigh wouldn't even talk to him for 6 months. Finally started revealing things to him. Now, Tatum has been, and I've done some stories, blast from the radio shows, blast from the past. It says a banner on my website. Tatum's in there. Here's the point. Perot enters the race after dropping out from that fax I sent him. He found out it was real. He turns around, and that was, I believe, in May. And he comes back in the race in September. I'm hiding from the FBI before I was arrested illegally and held in case dismissed with prejudice against me for terroristic death threats to my ex-in-laws in Denver that never happened. Here was the point. Perot, I asked him, I said, Ross, I said, why? I said, you really think you're going to win the election against Bush and Clinton? He goes, no. Still, I'm going to draw the votes off of Bush. Clinton will get in. He's dirty. We can prove all the Arkansas connections to Iran-Contra and all the drugs. And he says, then Al Gore will become president. He's no perfect guy, but he's not evil and corrupt as bad as they are. And he said, then we'll be able to take the country back. Well, of course, he started the Third Independent Party and the whole bit as a result, pushing it. A lot of the patriot community got behind it. But Ross Perot ran a sting operation called M&L Business Machines of Denver, Colorado. And it was a slick setup. And when he was appointed, after Reagan was shot as one of six CIA Oversight Committee members, he decided after 2.5 years that he was going to set up his own operation. So he took 150 CIA agents and he got 150 IRS agents and they set up the M&L Business Machine sting operation. In 1997, they had to close it down because they had already got all the evidence on all these people. Mayor Frederico Pena, who had been the mayor of Denver, took a bribe from Phil Wynn, board of directors of MDC Holdings, of Silverado, Neil Bush director, Mizell director, and Norman Brownstein, Daddy Bush's CIA counsel when he was CIA director. They all got fined. Mayor Frederico Pena had been appointed Secretary of Transportation after being the mayor, taking $2.5 million bribe from Phil Wynn, convicted HUD figure, never spent a day in jail, and he was given a presidential pardon by Bill Clinton. Now, Ross's sting operation removed him from office because he was under indictment, and he was Department of Energy Secretary underneath Clinton at that time, Mayor Frederico Pena of Denver. Frederico Pena was fined $1.5 million. He got to keep $1 million of his $2.5 million bribe because he already spent the money. He had to resign because he was under indictment. And Kaufman, the U.S. attorney out of Washington, D.C., was the one that prosecuted them. Leonard Millman had to pay an $80 million fine, my ex-wife's father. And Larry Mizell paid a $10 million fine, and Norman Brownstein. Now, before Obama leaves office, Norman Brownstein and Larry Mizell have a private dinner at the president's the White House, and they donated $2.5 million to his retirement, gave him a gift. That's what he's built his presidential library with. But they got presidential pardons out of it for their $10 million fine they had to pay each on bribing government officials. Now, here's what they found. They found that they had hit 150 federal agents, everything from USDA or Customs to CIA to DEA to FBI, U.S. attorneys, local prosecutors, local congressmen, attorney generals of the state of Colorado, et cetera, had 150 of them taken between $1.5 million and $2.5 million in bribes from them to do them special favors. Take care of this person, take care of that person, cover this up, cover that up. And Ross Perot, as powerful as he was not able to get the others prosecuted. And there's still 150 of them out there that never got touched. That's how powerful the Justice Department is when they cover things up. Thought I'd throw that tidbit out there, Jim. You may have never heard that. Jim Fesser, you there? Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to bring it to a close, Stu.
Jim, are you still there, or did you get off?
No, he got knocked off, probably.
Well, you think I'd have tried to call him back?
No.
Okay. Now, Joe, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay, I don't want to get too much into okay. it.
Okay, now, you're aware of politics and where you're at in Arizona. And this female down there, nice looking gal and all this, but she should have won. And she didn't. Explain to people why.
Okay. It's very simple. But yet, it's not fully explained or put into terms that people understand. And it's called mail-in ballots. Everybody thinks it's legitimate because they think that the Arizona Central Election Committee sends the ballots out to individuals so that they can mail it back in. Well, that's not necessarily so. What they do is they just simply pass them out. It's called ballot harvesting. That's it.
No.
In other words, it does not come out of Arizona Central Election Committee. It comes out of other sources, and it's just given to people, and these people that go around collecting them are called mules, and then they drop them off in the mail.
Now, their voting machines, they get electronic voting machines down there, do they not, Dominion?
Yeah, but the case here that we're talking about is also these two factors, and I've been over this before, of the electronic cyberspace and all of that that's gone on. It's going to continue on. For instance, I'll tell you, when Biden came to Arizona, it was all set up. Because there was a camera angle that was taken inadvertently, and it really showed that nobody was there. How does a presidential candidate show up into a major city and not have anybody there at his rally? It is because it's done purposely. It is a setup. It is an act. And that's what ballot harvesting is. Now, the problem of it is it comes down to this. The GOP is very well aware of what ballot harvesting is and other things that are associated with it. But yet nothing was done. Why?
Corruption at the highest level?
And that's right. But the trick is just as you described in detail what happened with Ross Perot and with Chip Tatum go way, way, way back there. If you are describing the dynamic of what happened in this corruption scene, and that is what is lacking, in these talks. There is nothing really coming forward that describes the dynamic of the corruption. In other words, what really is happening behind the scenes. Only then will we be able to maybe put a grasp on and stop this. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to continue becoming worse. It's not going to stop.
Well, you know, I filed a grand jury demand in 1995 against him, and Al Marcus stepped up with me.
Let's not go back to that, Stu, because we want to keep it on centered on this. What was originally happening with what your CIA agent delivered to you concerning this C-SPAN where you had the questions by Jordan as to what was going on with these FBI agents. And the trick of it is what is the dynamic of the corruption that puts the tape on these FBI agents? And that's the key.
It's
to be able to see what really is happening behind the scene. It's very important. And maybe one day we'll get that, hopefully. But as for right now, anytime you have these hearings, look how long they've been sitting on the Hunter Biden's laptop. Nothing has been done about it.
I know.
Why? How is it that they can put the pressure on? How do they put this stoppage on the revealing of the facts that are behind the scene of this corruption? And that is what I think is missing. And any time that you hear these hearings, the hearings are important, yes. But what we want to get at is that we want to have the public be able to be familiar with all of those things that are the dynamic of this corruption. Persons, places, things, events.
So you believe we probably won't get any place, America's not going to get any place with this Biden crime syndicate, all the evidence that they've got.
Because here's a perfect example of how the dynamics happen at a higher level. And unless we get behind the scene, like whether it's Ed Slade or Chip Tatum, who came forward and said, this is why this happened, and these are the persons, places, things, ideas that transferred on to this corruption. So here we have Blake Masters, who was running a pretty good campaign against Kelly. Well, what happened? Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, and Karl Rove pulled $1 million from Blake Masters' campaign. Why? Why did they want this to happen? They're Republicans. They're supposed to get behind Blake Masters. It didn't happen. Why? And it comes down to the fact, well, there is a corruption between Kevin McCarthy and Karl Rove and Mitch McConnell. And they're involved with the Pelosis in the China and Ukraine trade. But what is specifically that what happens? So therein lies the trick. Trying to get specifically, what did they do that is called the corruption?
Well, you know, I think Congressman Jim Jordan and Comer, I think that they pretty much laid out the details. But it comes.
Now, let me interrupt you again.
Okay.
They laid out the details as to these FBI agents. But what we want to know is, why did these FBI agents clam up?
They didn't. They came forward to these two congressmen.
They came forward and presented it. But explain the specific details that is going on in this corruption. And that's what's lacking.
Well, they did point to the fact that the guy in charge of the FBI in Washington, D.C., their boss, was the one covering it all up to influence the election.
Right. Now, the point of it is something going to be done?
Yeah. I know. So corrupt.
Now, that corruption right there, what is that corruption? And there's where we're lacking on our intel as to what is the nature of that corruption and what are the specific details that is the corruption. And that's what we're lacking.
Yeah, that's true. It is true.
And as soon as we can get to that, well, then it becomes a means by which the American public can say, well, we know specifically what happened in this case. And even though something may be done, the American public can do something about it by simply being aware of it.
It's time.
That's the case with whether it was Mueller and Hillary. There was sufficient evidence with Hillary being in her corruption. I mean, flat out. But yet, Mueller came through and said, no, we didn't really find anything.
And Otis Johnson ended up dead.
And so, consequently, this is the thing that goes on and on and on and on, whether it is the Arizona election. Why didn't the GOP at the top level, they're not stupid. They know what's going on. Why didn't they jump in and do something? They were there. They didn't. And Kerry Lake has come across and said, I don't give up the folks. I'm going to continue on. Well, I'm sure that you will, Kerry, but what good is it? Lost. Yeah. It was corrupt.
It's corrupt and it took you out.
So therein lies the problem, Stu. It is being able to, at one time, you were a whistleblower. Where is that whistleblower on the elections that gives specific details as to what happens? Where is that whistleblower? And yours goes way, way, way back to the 90s and the early 2000s. But where is the whistleblower for these modern times right now?
Yeah, that's true. Hey,
we don't have it. And the thing of this, yes, it's important that these hearings are set. It was the same thing that happened the head of the health agency, Fauci, when he testified and was questioned by Paul, Senator Paul. And I mean, Paul just hammered him, and obviously just sat there and obfuscated everything that he said.
And as a result of his...
And as a result now, 80% of the people have been inoculated in the United States, and they're dropping like flies. And that is one of the things that they will never reveal. But there are blogs out there where they are reading these letters of the people that are dying these horrible deaths. They say that if you really want to get into listening to police calls, that's where you'll really hear the ambulances are absolutely busy every night. The morticians are absolutely busy. Every night. They've never seen anything like this before.
You've mentioned the hospitals out there in Los Angeles, a body stacked up in the parking lot.
That's right. Where are the whistleblowers? Where are the whistleblowers on Fauci? Where are they? They're few and far between.
Because they murder them.
Yeah, but probably there's a good chances they are bumped off. I had one of my friends that was married to Dr. Judah Mikovits, and he was murdered.
You know, Joe, before I left Kansas City, I'm living elsewhere. Before I left Kansas City, I grabbed a bag, started going through it, took and got rid of it. But I sat there and counted 100 people that were whistleblowers that I came to know during the 90s, 80s, 90s, 2000 time frame, clear up to the date. This past July, 100 people dead. I'm sitting there looking and saying, by the grace of God, is the only reason I'm alive after 38 and a half years of blowing a whistle on them. The best I can do. Terry Reed's the only other one. He sell his book, but he had to keep his mouth shut or they were going to put a bullet in his brain.
But still, here's the case, Sirs. Yes, and these are the things that happened way back in the 90s and the early 2000s. And the same thing is happening now is that there are 30 doctors who are now dead.
And Dr. Tenpenny's out there talking like wildfire, telling the truth. I'm going to try to get an interview with her soon, put her on the air and bring you on. But she's one of the few out there that are even talking about all the bodies dropping.
Anyway, Stu, we need to bring things to an end here, and I hope something will come of the hearing at C-SPAN, covered by C-SPAN, so maybe some progress can be made.
Well, the only way it's going to be made is people are going to have to go to prayer with this, to Jesus Christ, and start talking to him and be honest with him and confess your sins to him and start talking to him and asking for help to expose this. And put an end to this. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. As Otis Johnson told me, they saw in CERN a super ball of fire, six times the size of the planet, before 2025 was going to hit the planet. You there, Joe?
Yeah, we got into it, Stu. My battery's running down.
Okay, buddy. I want to thank you, and I'll thank Professor Joe and also Professor James Fetzer, who got cut off or hung up or something. But yeah, I think I went too far with him with the alien stuff, but that's his opinion. That's my opinion. With that said, thank you, Joe. You have a good night.